excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
A new caravan of migrants is reportedly moving through Mexico now towards the U.S. The National Migration Institute says about 1,200 migrants from Central America and Cuba had already crossed from Guatemala into Mexico when they decided to form an actual caravan over the weekend. New England Patriots star tight end Rob Gronkowski has announced he's retiring from football. The 29-year-old Gronk ends a 9-year career. Inclement weather in one part of Florida has caused a plague that seems like a prophecy out of the Bible. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
There's a toad infestation in a Florida suburb. Thousands of poisonous cane toads showed up late last week in Palm Beach Gardens. This resident can't believe how many there are.
We're always going to have toads and we're always going to have frogs, but this is just outrageous.
The residents are concerned about the toxins secreted by the toads.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
More protests in Pittsburgh over the acquittal of a cop who shot an unarmed black teenager. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
No justice! No peace!
Rallies got underway for a second straight day in Pittsburgh following the acquittal of former police officer Michael Rosfeld.
What side are you on, people?
Protesters sang during a Saturday afternoon solidarity service for Antoine Rose. Rose's father says it's very painful to see what happened, to sit there and deal with it. He spoke to the hundreds who gathered to protest the jury's acquittal of Rosfeld. The officer had been charged with homicide in last summer's shooting. Protesters chanted, "Protect our sons," before marching toward downtown Pittsburgh. The presidents of two Pittsburgh-based charities issued a statement Saturday saying they share a sense of shock and outrage at the acquittal.
The combination of lower mortgage rates, more inventory, rising income, and higher consumer confidence has created a surge in home sales last month of 11.8%. With more, here's John Clemens.
The report from the National Association of Realtors included single-family homes, townhouses, condominiums, and co-ops to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of $5.51 million last month. The median existing home price for all housing types was up 3.6% last month to $249,500. Officials at the National Association of Realtors said home buyers are returning to the market this spring, a prime time to purchase new homes. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Our local weather today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Our outside our studio, 48 degrees right now. Cloudy for the rest of the day. High may be in the mid-50s. Tonight, chance of showers in the evening. Sunny, clearing up on Tuesday, high near 44, clear on the overnight Tuesday night, low down to the 20s, mid-20s. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the upper 40s, back down into the 20s at Wednesday night. Looks like for the rest of the week it's going to be sunny during the day, highs in the 50s to maybe lower 60s, warming up on the weekend, the chance of showers on Saturday and Sunday, slight chance. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Hello, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, here at WHCRDB, chef at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. We get together most Mondays to talk about food. We just had our big food holiday of St. Patrick's Day. Easter on the horizon, of course, and spring festivals. Trying to get rushing the spring produce, planting season. A little bit delayed again here in the Northeast. It's been a little cool, but hopefully we get some of those nice spring vegetables rolling along pretty soon. So my thoughts, I was thinking about raviolis. I don't know why. And I guess because there's so many different ways. I mean, ravioli has gone way beyond the original. Remember when I was a kid, the Chef Boyardee canned ravioli. Apparently, the canned raviolis were developed, you know, for the Italian army way back when World War One. Canned foods, you know, helped move the troops. You had to be able to feed them, right? So we've gone quite a ways from there. Now, fresh frozen. Many varieties out there. I know we've always gotten ours from Lucy's Ravioli in Princeton. Lucy's Ravioli Kitchen. I think they just call it Kitchen now. They do many more things besides then. But they, in the beginning, fresh pasta, which we still use from them, and raviolis, but many different types of flavor beyond the traditional three cheeses or maybe the meat raviolis. But yeah, many cultures, I mean, think of wontons or dumplings on a lot of menus now. In fact, if one of the shortcuts to making your own raviolis, recipes will recommend wonton skins. It's like little pasta squares that are already to go. You just have to seal up a filling inside there and boil them up. And, of course, in St. Louis, the toasted ravioli out in our Midwest there, a big thing. They bread the raviolis and then fry them, so they've got the crispy breadcrumb coating plus the pasta plus the filling. That's a little regional favorite there. Now, south of France, we'll use little pasta pockets for a lot of times for leftover stews, braised meats, things like that, a little bit left, chop it up and put it in a pasta shell. India has a sweet version. The kreplach in Jewish cooking, usually a meat ravioli, and sometimes they're put in broth, sometimes they're as a main dish. But, of course, raviolis are work because you need fresh pasta. You need to make pasta, which is not, for some people, a stretch. Some people, you know, people do it by hand. I was thinking back in late 70s when I was first introduced to making fresh pasta, rolling it out by hand. But there's, you know, they have the rollers now, the machines. It's actually very easy to make the dough and let it rest and then roll it out. And then the little mounds of your filling, and seal it up with either water or egg white. And you can make circles, you can have squares, triangles, all kinds of different shapes even with the raviolis. And whatever method you choose, it is, again, it's a way of maybe using up little bits of foods that are left from a roast or a braise, or just start with fresh. Very nice way to showcase vegetables. And usually the filling would have a little bit of ricotta cheese in it, some other cheeses, although I think Lucy's makes a vegan one with, I think they use a silken tofu in there, which is another option. You know, something to, you want the filling to be kind of homogeneous. If you're having, say, an asparagus ravioli, you want to have the asparagus cooked and pretty, you know, pretty finely chopped, or even a puree. So then I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, raviolis are nice, but there are other items called nudis, N-U-D-I, ravioli nudi, or it could be G-N-U-D-I. You might have seen that on menus. They're just little dumplings. So what it is, it's like a ravioli filling without the pasta. Most often there's spinach, but they could be other vegetables, could be just cheese. In regions of Italy, they might be called a gnocchi. Gnocchi is usually a pasta made with potato and a little semolina and a little ricotta to lighten it up. But the spinach ones, which we'll give you a little formula for today, similar to a spinach filling. They're not gluten-free. There is a little flour to help bind them, but they're nice little dumplings that you can poach and then brown up under the broiler, or use them as a soup garnish. One that I'd like to do is kind of descended from that is the veal and ricotta meatball. I see that on some menus somewhere. So the veal and ricotta meatball, we've served them at Jake's before. It is really a gluten-free option to have a meatball. No breadcrumbs in there, no flour. Although oftentimes they are served with bread, you have that option of offering it with without, for those that can't have wheat flour. So the pathway actually to get to that, I was reminded of an old cookbook that I happen to have, and when we come back after these messages here, I'll explain my source there, and we'll glean a couple of nice tidbits from an Italian food cookbook, Chef Bill's Table.
But you don't even know your mind, and you could have a change of heart. Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at Chef Bill's table here, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So this book that actually I've used it quite a bit over the years. It's a Time Life series that came out. They were publishing in the late 60s into 70. I'm not sure how long. It was a whole series. They didn't all come out at once. This one was published in 1968 and then reprinted in 74. So I would have gotten it sometime in the 70s. And it was The Cooking of Italy. Waverly Root was the author, great, one of our well-known food writers. You know, wrote many food books. So it was a nice hardbound book, a lot of photography. The whole Time Life staff, you know, they have the many good resources there. So great history, traditions. Writer Michael Field did the recipes, well-researched recipes, gleaned from many sources, you know, to be as true as possible. One of the neat things about food history is, especially a well-written volume like this, is that the information there is timeless. The recipes still work. It's not like something changed. Some things over time, we find different or better new ways of doing things. But these things here, nothing over the top, super fancy. I was able, I was up at Mirror Lake Inn at the time, right prior to the Olympics, and we started exploring the, we would call it Northern Italian cuisine. It kind of bordered on what was then called continental cuisine, trying to separate it from the red sauce, you know, spaghetti and meatball type thing that had become Italian food. I mean, it's only one area of Italy that would focus on that, but it became, you know, because of the people that settled here, it became our interpretation, American interpretation of Italian food. And so restaurants were trying to kind of overcome that image and explore other regions of Italy with the varied cuisine and if you think of it, the range of products from the north there up near the Alps all the way down to Sicily and Sardinia and the edge of the peninsula there, right down in the Mediterranean. You got a wide variety of foods grown there. We've got mountains down the middle. Every region produces wine. There's phenomenal bounty in that country. And that type of cooking where the French had been very regimented and a lot of rules, and you could make everything, of course, very consistent, no matter what the product was, because of all the things you would do to the product. Nothing bad, of course, but it was just the techniques were there for making consistency. Never mind the seasonality of foods. The Italians were kind of the opposite. They embraced the best of what was available and don't alter it too much. More of a spontaneous style of cooking. French started, Nouvelle Cuisine had started. It was an emphasis on fresher, quicker preparations, maintaining the integrity of the food. Really, the focus became about the ingredients. And in fact, the term recipe, with Latin roots, goes back to sometimes you'll see in old books they're called receipts, R-E-C-E-I-P-T, like a receipt you get from your when you buy something in the store. And recipe, those were kind of interchangeable. But really, the Latin base there, a recipe is procuring or receiving something. And reciprocity, a lot of words obviously you could see came from that base. Recipere is to take back or to come back. So really the recipe was a list of ingredients. It was used in medicine for what we now call prescriptions. In fact, the abbreviation for that word was R with the little slash through the leg of the R. The RX, which is, of course, our symbol for a pharmacy, comes from the Latin root. It was abbreviation of that root's word. So interchangeable with the medical field plus cooking. Now, of course, a recipe is mainly thought of as a way to prepare food, although it could be a list or a series of methods. We think of a recipe for success or a recipe for disaster. It refers to kind of a formula. The original was really just was getting the ingredients. So the recipes in Italian food were really about finding the best ingredients.
Feel my heart start.
So this book, so it's it goes through all the different regions, and again, great photography. The books would come with a small recipe book, so you had the hardbound, but then a small spiral-bound recipe book, which, of course, mine's long gone. I've used it many, many times. But we were making, we had a couple of items on our menus then that were bordering on that Italian influence, and it wasn't really a stretch for us to start dabbling in some of the other regional Italian foods. Did the same thing. There was in 1970, Classic French Cooking was produced by Time Life Books. Craig Claiborne and Pierre Franey, who wrote for the Times for years, New York Times, they were the authors, co-authors. And so these series, there's some great books. I've got Latin America, Spain, Germany. There's one on wine and spirits, one on China. Again, these books were coming out, every year or two another volume would come out. So you kind of got a little collection of them there. So we were going through these books, making fresh pasta. We didn't have a machine. We didn't have a roller, so you're rolling it by hand. It was a lot of work. You started to appreciate some of the efforts that went into the food with simple ingredients. You're talking flour and egg and a little olive oil, but what are you going to make out of it? You know, the different noodles, all the different shapes of pasta as opposed to the factory pasta. But the sauces that you'd think of, a bolognese sauce that a lot of places, like a tomato meat sauce with some cream in it, but, you know, the recipe in this book was way beyond that, a mixture of the meats. There was some cream, you know, a classic bolognese is, as my brother says, putting the milk back in the cow. It's simmered meat, ground meat for a long time, and adding, we use heavy cream here, of course, if you've got a nice
higher butterfat whole milk would give you that that same finish there. But it shouldn't be a cream sauce. It's more like a very, very rich ragu. So besides some pasta, we would put some nice, like a roasted fresh ham in marsala. We had some veal dishes on the menu already, a little stuffed veal with prosciutto, maybe some provolone or mozzarella. I like fontina even a little bit better. But it was, as I say, we started looking through this book. So when I was thinking of raviolis, of course, there is a method for fresh pasta. Very simple, and then a couple of ravioli fillings in there. One is just the basic ricotta filling, and the other one is a meat filling. When you're making a meat filling for raviolis, of course, you're going to cook the meat first. Oftentimes, there might be some spinach added to it. There may be cheese, there may be not. Usually not. It's kind of the opposite of the cheese ravioli, a little denser filling. But you want the meat finely ground. So for basic pasta, you can buy pasta sheets, fresh pasta, egg pasta. But for raviolis, you need them very, very thin. So if you're making your own, if you have your rollers there, you get them very, very thin. Drop your filling on them, and then you can either... with the second sheet on top, use egg white or water to seal it off. Press around the filling. You can either cut it with circle, like a cookie cutter. You could do a pastry cutter, or they can call them a ravioli cutter, the little zigzag. Or you can cut them with a knife. You can crimp them with the edge of a fork if you like. You could take a sheet of pasta and just fold it over so there wouldn't be... you're not sealing on four sides. You're only sealing on three sides. Many ways to do it. Fresh pasta, basically a cup and a half of flour. We like to use the Durum semolina, that nice golden yellow flour, although you could use all-purpose if you need to. You're using one egg and one egg white, a tablespoon of olive oil, a teaspoon of salt, and then after you've mixed the egg and the olive oil and the flour together, a few drops of water as you need it just to get that proper texture. When you squeeze it together, it should hold together. It shouldn't be flaky like pie crust. You want to knead it till it's nice and smooth and elastic. You're going to develop the gluten in the flour, and then you let it rest so you can roll it nice and thin. Just like pizza dough, right? Pizza, pasta, a similar process there. And with this pasta, then you could have with your sheets, you could, what we used to do with this basic pasta is we'd roll it out thinly and then to a rectangle or something close to that, and you're dusting it with a little flour so it doesn't stick to the board. But then we would roll it up like a jelly roll and then with a knife cut the fettuccine from that. You can cut it thinner for, a spaghetti chitara is one method where you'd actually push the pasta dough through some metal strings like a guitar, chitara. That's where it comes from. So it's almost like a square spaghetti. But we would cut the fettuccine noodles and let them, we would actually hang them over chafing dish racks and you could also just toss them a little more flour so they don't stick together. And we didn't really want them to dry out. We wanted to keep the nice fresh texture. And when you're cooking fresh pasta, of course, it doesn't take very long. It only takes a minute to a minute and a half. It's not going to be al dente like a factory pasta. It's not going to be hard in the middle. But with the egg in there, you get that nice little, you should have a little bit of chewiness to it. So, but you don't want to undercook too much. You don't want the taste of raw flour. We've got a break for news here. We're going to make some you know, I guess some raviolis without pasta, right? A gnocchi verde and a veal and ricotta meatball would be kind of a meat version of that. Or even some other gnocchi, Roman style. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders takes her first direct questions from reporters since the release of the Robert Mueller Russia probe summary by Attorney General William Barr.
We absolutely know and have said for over 2.5 years there was no collusion. Now Bob Mueller is also saying the same thing.
Sanders even says the president is willing to see the entire report released publicly, though there are concerns that must first be addressed.
Making sure things like executive privilege and sources and methods and things like that are protected. And that's why the attorney general will look at this and make the best decision, not just for this president, but for America.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is about to meet with President Trump in the Oval Office, but the prime minister is cutting his visit to Washington short to return to Israel following a Gaza rocket attack on Tel Aviv. And this is USA Radio News.
Step up your style with some of our best savings on quality flooring at Lumber Liquidators. Save 15% on all premium Bella Wood hardwood floors from only $3.99 a square foot. Or save 15% on our best bamboo Morningstar Ultra. And let our professional installation team do the work for you. Plus, special financing helps make your tax refund go even further. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you. Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
The tradition, the suspense, the race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Table here. So these gnocchi verdes, little spinach dumplings. They said these are not really gluten-free, but there's they're kind of like a ravioli filling without the pasta around it. So probably, you know, a little bit easier to make. So we're going to start with, we have spinach. Again, an old recipe made, you know, call for 2 10-ounce container or boxes of frozen chopped spinach, but we really don't like that, and there's no reason to do that now. There's plenty of fresh spinach out there. We like either the baby spinach or the clipped and cleaned, and we'll chop that and cook it. And the 10-ounce little box that you buy that's frozen, of course, the 10-ounce bag is going to equal the same amount. A lot of water in spinach. So that 10-ounce bag of spinach will cook down to something pretty small. So with 4 tablespoons of butter, we're going to saute that spinach until all the liquid's out of it. I'm going to remove it from the heat, put it into a bowl. We need 3/4 cup of ricotta cheese, 2 beaten eggs, 6 tablespoons of flour, about 1/4 cup of Parmesan cheese, grated Parmesan, grate your own would be the best, and 1/2 teaspoon each of salt and pepper, a pinch of nutmeg. Nutmeg always complements the spinach nicely. So your spinach is cooked in a bowl, so it cools off a little bit. Mix in the ricotta. And then you can blend in the eggs and flour and seasoning. And it should be a, you know, fairly fairly tight mixture. You should be able to chill that for an hour and be able to put it into little tablespoons. You could have little balls. You could make little canals if you like, little kind of a football shape if you're using two teaspoons. Kind of form those if you like. You could make little circles, whatever you like. I think the ovals would be the best, but the round ones are probably the easiest to do. And you could, or if you have a small round scoop, you could do that. But you want them to be maybe about 1.5 tablespoons for the size. Now, these you're going to need a few quarts of water boiling, 6 quarts or so, and a tablespoon of salt, some boiling salt and water. Once all your little dumplings are made, you will poach them off and cook them for 2 or 3 minutes in the boiling water. When they float, they should be about ready. But you want to check one, make sure that the flour, make sure everything's cooked. And you can set those aside. Now, we can broil these to finish them. At this point, the gnocchis could be used, if you like them just poached, they could go into a soup, if you like, as a garnish, or served with a sauce, or drizzled with a little bit more butter and cheese and broiled. Let them crisp up a little bit on the outside. But you'll have this these gnocchis, these dumplings that, you know, again, without a lot of the pasta on there. Makes a nice, either it could be an appetizer, could be a course. As I say, it could be a garnish for a soup. Now, another type of gnocchi, as I was, of course, got into this book here, and I'm starting to exploring some of the old recipes and other things. So that if you've got gnocchi, besides the potato gnocchi that we're most probably familiar with, these semolina gnocchis, they're from the Roman area, gnocchi romana. And again, these are baked, and they're little discs. Kind of reminds you of our polenta or cornmeal. You know, cornmeal mush, grits, certain areas of Italy, there might be the white corn, it could be yellow corn. You know, the Italian cooking would call for whatever ingredients are close by and fresh. So this is a kind of, again, like cooking a polenta or cornmeal. 3 cups of milk and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. A pinch of nutmeg and some ground pepper. So you'll bring this to a boil and then stream in 3/4 of a cup of the semolina. You want it to be stirring constantly so it doesn't get lumpy. My little trick for doing this, whether you're making polenta or anything like that, is to take about... if you had 3 cups of milk, I would take 3/4 of a cup of milk and mix it with the semolina. That's the pasta flour that looks kind of like cornmeal. It's granular. That's what you're looking for. But I like to soak it with some of the cold milk, bring the rest of it to a boil. Then you can add it all at once, and you don't get the lumps in there. So that's just, and whether if you're making cornbread, whatever, if you're using cornmeal or semolina for anything like that, I like to soak it in some of the liquid first. And then if you don't stream it properly, you see the picture of somebody, with their hand just letting it sift. So you're stirring constantly, trying not to get any lumps. You don't want any lumps to form. You want this to be smooth. So you cook this until... it's fairly dense. A wooden spoon is the best to use. You don't want metal scraping metal in this case. And the wooden spoons, of course, don't transfer the heat. So if you've got it sitting in the hot liquid, you don't burn your hands. Then, you know, some advantages to that. But the spoon should stand up straight in the mixture. And that's how it should be, nice and thick. Off the heat, then we're going to add 2 eggs, beaten eggs, and 3/4 cup of Parmesan. Mix that in well. Now, with this warm mixture, we're going to have to get a baking sheet and butter it, just with some soft butter. You pour the polenta or the semolina onto the baking sheet. You're going to spread it to about a quarter inch thick, and you're going to cool it down. Again, you can do the same thing with cornmeal, polenta, and then once it's chilled, we can cut some shapes from it. You could use a round cutter and cut it, you know, like little cookies. Then you have a little bit, you know, of course, some excess there. Or cut it into triangles or rectangles or squares. Triangles would be my favorite. Then you kind of use everything. And you have these little shapes of the semolina mixture. It's all firmed up. Again, your baking sheet, I mean, you have your oven at 400 degrees. You would then drizzle a little bit of butter over these and more cheese and bake them at 400 for 15 minutes. You could broil them till they're brown. Could probably, I know we've done it with polenta before, you can even, in a nonstick pan, you could warm them up that way, little polenta circles or squares. We've done this as a side dish before for dishes. So you've got, in a semolina, again, and if you can't have flour, make it with your cornmeal, and you can have kind of a pasta side dish or a base without the flour. And it's something you can make ahead. You could make the mixture ahead, let it chill. Then when you're ready, cut your shapes and bring it back to life. Messages here, and then we've got to make these veal and ricotta meatballs. Chef Bill's Table. You say I'm spending my money on other women, taking money from someone else. I called your mama.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here. Veal and ricotta meatballs. So ground veal. You still see this in the store. I know veal's kind of fallen out of favor with people. Too bad. You still see it, of course, in most Italian restaurants. We'll use veal. I kind of liked it when I was working in Italian restaurants. The veal... You don't the portion because it's you've got usually a rich sauce and things. The portion of protein wasn't as big. It's probably the right way to eat instead of serving a 16-ounce steak. You know, the exception, of course, places steakhouses still offer a large veal chop, which the loin, of course, or the rib, probably the best way to enjoy it. But people say, it doesn't have any flavor and this and that. And, you know, if you get good free-range veal, it is, it's not baby beef. It's, it's the calves that haven't gotten the iron into them yet. But anyway, so the ground veal, we like it even in a meatloaf or a meatball mix or even a meat sauce because it's got that nice, fine texture and light flavor. Ground pork takes on kind of similar, that a good 80-20 is the lean to fat ratio that you're looking for. I suppose if you wanted to use ground beef, I would, if you do ground beef, it would have to be very finely ground for this recipe. This is again without the flour in there to bind. It's just the egg and the cheese and the meat. It's a very light texture. So all right, how are we going to do this? So I'm going to start with about 2.5 pounds of ground veal. And we'll need 1.5 pounds of ricotta cheese, 4 eggs, 1.5 cups of Parmesan grated, about 1/4 cup of fresh Italian chopped parsley, if you can find the flat leaf. A half tablespoon of salt, black pepper, half tablespoon, half tablespoon of nutmeg, or that could be 1.5 teaspoons. You need a quarter teaspoon of, I use a little granulated onion and granulated garlic. Instead of using the minced pieces in this, I want the mixture to be smooth. I found using these granulated, not garlic salt, not onion salt, and not, if you can find the granulated, not the powder, using in mixtures like this, crab cakes, stuffings, things where I made, I don't want the texture other than the main ingredient. So when you're making meatballs and things like this, recipes, formulas, pretty important. I know there's a lot of cooking out there that we can do without recipes, but in this case, you need some proportions to be right. So you need the egg has to kind of bind the meat and the cheese together. So, and it's generally, it's about one egg to the pound. And also this fairly good amount of Parmesan cheese is going to be in there, too, to help kind of absorb moisture. So what I usually do when I'm making a meatball mix is I take all the stuff that's not meat, all the seasonings, the eggs, the cheese. In the case of a regular meatball, I would, you know, any breadcrumbs or if it's a meatloaf, using oats, whatever you're using, I would make just this this mess of all the liquid plus the bread ingredients. In this case, it would be the cheese, the eggs, the Parmesan, the seasonings. Of course, there's no breadcrumbs. And you make sure that that's homogenous. All the seasonings that way gets spread around evenly. And then you add that whole mixture to the ground veal. You could use a stand mixer if you like. Use your hands with gloves. You want to mix it in there. You have to make sure that the mixture is homogenous. So the cheese mixture and the eggs is well distributed with the meat. It's going to take on a lighter color, especially with the veal. I said, if you want to substitute ground pork, that's fine. Turkey thigh meat, you've got to be careful with poultry. Usually there's a little bit too much water in there. I guess if you ground your own, you'd be all right with it, but the regular ground poultry is a little bit wet, I've found anyway. And besides, the veal is actually very good, and ground veal is not expensive like the other cuts are, so it's good for you. So once we have our mixture homogeneous, now this is where, again, you could make a head, let it sit for a little while, would be nice. We've done it where we formed the meatballs right away, but ideally if you can sit for a few hours or overnight, any kind of mixture like that, whether you're making meatballs or meatloaf sausage, it just helps all the seasonings kind of permeate the meat. And we'll scale this, and you can make any size you want. You could make a little cocktail size. You could make larger ones. What we do is take an ice cream scoop and a number 30 or a number 20. That would be 20 to the quart. That's how they're measured there. Pick the size you want. If you want, or you could weigh them. You want a 2 ounce, you want a 1 ounce, you want a 2.5 ounce, depending on what you're going to use them for. Well, you roll them up, and again, handle them lightly. I mean, they're going to be a little delicate. We would bake these first in a 425 degree oven, or alternately, you can poach them in your sauce. They're not really going to brown that much. They'll brown a little bit in the oven. You could fry them. You could saute them, rolling them around in a pan. But again, these are a little delicate to handle. By the way, if you want to turn, we used to do fried meatballs in one restaurant. We took our regular meatball mix and just doubled the amount of eggs. So it was very, very soft. And we'd make little patties out of it, almost like a little meatball, like little beef sausage patties. They're pretty good. For an appetizer or something like that, or on a buffet, instead of the round meatballs, they're a little flattened out, and you fry them in some oil, and they get a little, nice little crispy on them because they got the, it's beef and it's got the breadcrumb in there. But double the amount of eggs, and you'll get something a little bit softer, more delicate. Again, something you would probably serve without sauce, just serve it as it is. But these veal ricotta ones, you'll either bake them or you could poach them in the sauce. We like to bake them. Maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We want to make sure they're cooked. And then we would add some sauce, just a straight marinara or tomato sauce, your favorite sauce, and some fresh basil. And we could return them to the oven and let them bake a little bit more. Again, we don't want to really handle these too much. They are very soft. But you could serve these as they are. If you want to make people used to, of course, like them on a sandwich. Very, very soft, very tender. And, again, we're not really going heavy with the garlic and the onion here. It's more about the cheese and the eggs and the meat. These would also be good done in a small size as a garnish for a soup. And I'm thinking now, spring with the stracciatella, we used to do a veal and asparagus soup. But you could have these little meatballs, and you have your nice chicken broth with some onions and maybe a little bit of garlic. But any kind of vegetable, you could cook asparagus tips and pieces. You could do spinach. You could do escarole. Any kind of thing. Flavor that broth. Get your vegetables cooked in there. And you can just drop these little meatballs in there and poach them right in the broth and have a nice little soup. We got to head out. It's the end of the hour. Got to get ready for the next show here. Coming up, we got Easter in a couple of weeks. Figure out how we're going to cook Easter dinner. Talk to you soon. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders takes her first direct questions from reporters since the release of the Robert Mueller Russia probe summary by Attorney General William Barr.
We absolutely know and have said for over 2.5 years there was no collusion. Now Bob Mueller is also saying the same thing.
Sanders even says the president is willing to see the entire report released publicly, though there are concerns that must first be addressed.
Making sure things like executive privilege and sources and methods and things like that are protected. And that's why the attorney general will look at this and make the best decision, not just for this president, but for America.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is about to meet with President Trump in the Oval Office, but the prime minister is cutting his visit to Washington short to return to Israel following a Gaza rocket attack on Tel Aviv. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn. It's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
A new caravan of migrants is reportedly moving through Mexico now towards the U.S. The National Migration Institute says about 1,200 migrants from Central America and Cuba had already crossed from Guatemala into Mexico when they decided to form an actual caravan over the weekend. New England Patriots star tight end Rob Gronkowski has announced he's retiring from football. The 29-year-old Gronk ends a 9-year career. Inclement weather in one part of Florida has caused a plague that seems like a prophecy out of the Bible. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
There's a toad infestation in a Florida suburb. Thousands of poisonous cane toads showed up late last week in Palm Beach Gardens. This resident can't believe how many there are.
We're always going to have toads and we're always going to have frogs, but this is just outrageous.
The residents are concerned about the toxins secreted by the toads.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.